Rapid Fire. Entertainment. Sergeant Stubby, movie star. Four-legged World War I hero immortalized in animated film by Michael Hjelmsted. When filmmaker Richard Lanny began looking for a World War I-themed project after his popular three-part American Road to Victory series, he liked the idea of following a historic figure through the American experience of the Great War and came across the story of the nation's most famous war dog. 8 years later, Lanny's Sergeant Stubby, an American hero, is playing in U.S. theaters nationwide. Based on a true story, the animated film follows the stubby-tailed pup rescued from the streets of New Haven, Connecticut, by Corporal Robert Conroy in 1917. The doughboy smuggled Stubby to Europe with the 102nd Infantry Regiment, 26th Yankee Division, where the dog served on the Western Front for 18 months. He became America's most decorated dog and a life member of the American Legion and is currently memorialized at the Smithsonian. When the division arrived in France, Stubby had special orders to accompany soldiers to the front lines. He saw action in 4 offensives and 17 battles, locating wounded soldiers and warning others to take cover from incoming artillery shells before they'd been detected. Stubby's keen sense of smell also made him able to anticipate mustard gas attacks, once saving an entire company by alerting the men to don their gas masks. Stubby is regarded a forerunner of the modern military's working dog program. Stubby was not only a hero in war, as shown in the film, but he was heroic in supporting veterans returning to a world that had changed. Veterans had a particularly hard time when they came back from the Great War, Lanny says. He visited veterans in the hospital, he led American Legion parades, and he was very active in the Legion. Lanny is the founder of Fun Academy Media Group, operating from his homes in Cork, Ireland, and Normandy, France, with production and distribution offices headquartered in Columbus, Georgia. His American Road to Victory, which follows GIs from D-Day to the Battle of the Bulge, is the most aired World War II-themed program in U.S. public television history. To draw younger viewers, Lanny decided to tell Stubby's story through the eyes of the dog. "I have to be sensitive about it," he says, "otherwise it's going to be a war movie." Lanny partnered with Technicolor to handle the film's animation through its subsidiary, Micros Animation, the studio behind The Little Prince and Captain Underpants. The film's 2D sequence director is Jordan Beck, an officer in the Georgia Army National Guard. He also has a voice role. Through this visual language, we're able to bring a history to life that all audiences can appreciate, Beck says. The story of how Fun Academy started was Richard realizing if we make this as an animated picture, kids can learn history. Lanny and Beck worked together to bring American Road to Victory to the National Infantry Museum Foundation in Columbus, where they put on specialty screenings near Memorial Day and the anniversary of D-Day. The American Legion was a huge part in endorsing the series and making it such a staple, Beck says. Lanny is known for telling stories through the voices of people who were there. "We're telling a true story, so some of these people actually existed," he says. "It doesn't feel like the usual animation." The voice cast of Sergeant Stubby includes Logan Lerman, Helena Bonham Carter, and Gérard Depardieu. An original score was composed by Patrick Doyle, Brave, Thor, Harry Potter, and the Goblet of Fire. It is a wonderful emotional script, and Stubby's exciting adventures are a delightful gift for a composer to capture, Doyle says. "All generations will take away something different from it," says Lanny, adding that the film appeals to a wide audience. "When you look at our social media, which is a fairly good barometer of what people think about this, I see grandparents saying, 'I gotta take the grandkids to see this,' 'Gotta go as a family,' couples saying, 'Date night,' and kids saying, 'I hope someone takes us to see this.'" To Lanny, the film is about the United States coming of age internationally, as well as friendship between soldiers, the main character and the dog, and Americans and the French. "It's very much about courage, and I think a lot of people will look at Stubby and identify a bit of themselves in him," Lanny says. "It's almost the American dream, you know. He went away to France as a stowaway, and he came back leading the parade. It's charming, and it has a heart." A sequel is already planned about Stubby's return home. American Legion posts are encouraged to go to the film's website, www.stubbymovie.com to learn about group sales and how to bring it to a local theater. Michael Hjelmstad is a Marine Corps veteran, writer, film producer, and member of American Legion Post 43 in Hollywood, California. Convention. Register now for a 2018 Legacy Run. This year's American Legion Writers Legacy Run will be August 19th to 23rd, and online registration is now open. This year's run will begin its centennial ride in the Department of Kansas and end near Minneapolis, the site of the Legion's 100th National Convention. Each day, lunch and dinner will be served at an American Legion post. All but one were chartered in 1919 and 1920. Other stops will include memorials, monuments, and historic sites. The Legacy Run raises funds for the Legacy Scholarship Fund, which provides college scholarships for children of U.S. service members killed on active duty on or after 9/11 or post-9/11 veterans with a combined VA-determined service disability rating of at least 50%. Non-riding supporter registrations are available for $20. More information about the run, including cost, is available online, www.legion.org/writers. Verbatim. We have an erosion rate that doesn't have us thinking we'll be in the payphone business for long. Tom Keen, president of Pacific Telemanagement Services, which operates 20,000 payphones around the country, though providers reported $286 million in revenue in 2015, there are only 100,000 payphones left nationwide, a fifth of which are in New York. Washington Conference. Rohan, Legion exists to strengthen America. American Legion National Commander Denise H. Rohan emphasized the purpose of the Legion's century of service to the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees during the Washington Conference on February 28th. The American Legion was built to strengthen America, Rohan said. That is the why of the American Legion. I believe that is also the why of Congress and the common denominator we share. Introducing Rohan, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan praised the role of the American Legion at the local level and in national conversation. People know the Legion as a fixture in their communities, he said. It is truly a national force for good. The GI Bill is a perfect example. What became one of the most consequential laws of the 20th century started with a Legion commander putting some of his ideas down on a notepad. Fittingly, when it came time to pass the Forever GI Bill last year, the Legion was indispensable in getting this done, along with the other veterans service organizations. Rohan also spoke of the Legion's strong opposition to any attempt to privatize VA health care. We did not fight for Blue Cross and Blue Shield, she said of veterans. We fought for the red, white, and blue. The American Legion is 100% for funding the VA system, making sure that our veterans are taken care of, where they need it and when they need it. Sometimes that means choice, but that system we have is where veterans need to get their care. As promised, Rohan communicated to Congress the urgent needs of those recovering from last year's hurricanes. I saw firsthand what that looks like when I toured Puerto Rico and the hurricane-torn islands of the Caribbean, where U.S. veterans and American Legion members were putting the needs of others above their own, as their VA facilities and communities remained far from restored. Download the Legion's 2018 legislative agenda, www.legion.org/publications. Some quotes. I humbly accept, on behalf of the women veterans I sought to honor, and on behalf of all those on a team, that's you, who made this dream come true. Diane Carlson Evans, Vietnam War combat nurse and architect of the Vietnam Women's Memorial in Washington, on receiving the American Legion's Patriot Award. We have to get to a place where we're identifying risks, like in the military side. They call it left of boom. We have to move left of crisis. It could be divorce. It could be bankruptcy. Anything could be the boom. But we want to move way left of that. Kata Franklin, VA's acting suicide prevention director, speaking to the Legion's National Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation Commission. VA isn't going anywhere, but we do need to take steps to ensure the department is focused on its mission and using resources wisely. Representative Phil Rowe, Republican Tennessee, House Committee on Veterans Affairs Chairman, speaking to Legion family members at the Commander's Call. I'll tell you that since that first day back in March 2011, we were honored to have the American Legion stand next to us as we undertook the rest of the mission to stamp out veteran unemployment. Eric Eversole, president of Hiring Our Heroes, speaking at the Veterans Career Fair about the relationship between the Legion and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce initiative. The conference also included a resume workshop and other events to help in the job-seeking process. 350,000 number of unemployed veterans in the United States, according to Tim Green, director of the Department of Labor's Office of Strategic Outreach, speaking to the Veterans Employment and Education Commission. 55% of unemployed veterans older than 45. 53 companies and government agencies represented at the Hiring Our Heroes Career Fair. 100 approximate number of job seekers who attended the career fair. Convention, Minneapolis Tours, Twins Night. Experience the Twin Cities is offering several opportunities for Legion family members to explore Minneapolis during the 100th National Convention, August 24th to 30th. Options include Minneapolis History and Theater Tour, Minneapolis Landmark Sightseeing Tour, Hands-on Minneapolis Public Art Walking Tour, Craft Brew Hop Brewery Tour, A Night of American Musical Theater, Mall of America Shopping Shuttle, Paddle Boat Dinner Cruise, Paddle Boat Lunch Cruise, Mystic Lake Casino Gaming Shuttle, Historic Fort Snelling Tour, Defending Minnesota, Historic Stillwater Experience, Food, Wine, Beer, and more. Visit www.legion.org/convention/resources to register or learn more. Legion Family Night with the Twins. On August 25th, the Minnesota Twins will host the Oakland A's during American Legion Family Night at Target Field. National Commander Denise H. Rohan will throw out the first pitch at approximately 6:10 p.m. Field box seats are $36 and home plate view seats are $23. Seating is limited. Go to www.legion.org/convention/resources to find out how to order. Education, Yellow Ribbon Program. My GI Bill, Veterans in Education by Valerie Hefner. Question, a local university doesn't participate in the Yellow Ribbon Program. Is it possible to still attend the school and receive my post-9/11 benefits? Answer, yes. Post-9/11 GI Bill benefits pay for all resident tuition and fees for a public school are the lower of the actual tuition and fees or the national maximum per year for a private school. If a school's tuition is higher than the national average, that school may choose to participate in the Yellow Ribbon Program, which provides additional funds, tuition, and fees for your degree. Valerie Hefner is a Marine Corps veteran and member of American Legion Post 27 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Ask Valerie at legion.org. Legion Baseball. Randy Owen headlines Legion World Series. Randy Owen, lead singer of the country rock band Alabama, will headline the 7th Inning Stretch Festival on August 11th in Shelby, North Carolina, as part of the 2018 American Legion World Series. The World Series will be August 16th to 21st. Owen, Teddy Gentry, and Jeff Cook still perform as Alabama, but limited their group appearances after their American Farewell Tour in 2002 and 2003. During its 25-plus years as a band, Alabama claimed 21 straight number one singles, 43 in all, and sold 73 million albums. Alabama has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and in 2005, the band was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Country band Parmalee will perform during the host city welcome on August 15th, Shelby's official welcome to the 8 teams that will compete at Keter Stadium. The band is made up of brothers Matt Thomas, lead vocals and guitar, and Scott Thomas, drums, cousin Barry Knox, bass, and family friend Josh McSwain, guitar, a native of Shelby. The brothers began playing in their father's band when they were teens, then formed Parmalee and started touring in 2001. www.legion.org/baseball. Defense. Mattis defends readiness policy. Defense Secretary James Mattis is defending the Pentagon's new deploy or get out policy as a matter of fairness. If you can't go overseas, Mattis said, then obviously someone else has got to go. I want this spread fairly and expertly across the force. Under the new rules, military members who have been non-deployable for the past 12 months or more will be separated, as Military Times reports. 11% of the 2.1 million personnel in the total force, active duty, reserves, and National Guard, are non-deployable, the paper notes. That's 235,000 troops. Of that number, 99,000 have not had all of their immunizations or required dental exams. 20,000 are not deployable due to pregnancy, and 116,000 are not deployable due to short or long-term injuries, Military Times adds. You're either deployable or you need to find something else to do, Mattis explained. I'm not going to have some people deploying constantly, and then other people who seem to not pay that price in the U.S. military. However, he was quick to add that personnel injured in the field are exempt from the new policy. We'll find a place to use them, he concluded. That's a special category. They've earned that special status. Foreign affairs, Islamic State's environmental toll. The Islamic State footprint on Iraq's environment may be unprecedented and permanent, the Washington Post reports. The Islamic State's toxic legacy, the Post grimly details, includes wide-scale livestock deaths, poisoned croplands, and a generation of Iraqi children with chronic breathing complications. The Islamic State burned or purposely spilled some 2 million barrels of oil between June 2016 and March 2017 alone. Environmental experts worry that much of the oil seeped into the groundwater and ultimately into the Tigris River, which is a lifeline for millions of Iraqis. The group also blew up a sulfur plant near the city of Qayyarah. The resulting blast and fire spewed 35,000 tons of sulfur into the air, according to a United Nations report. Centennial, Post 136, Lodi, New Jersey. Joseph M. Lane Post 136's American Legion Junior baseball team won the Bergen County Championship from 1948 to 1950. The first records of Post 136 that referred to a baseball program are from 1933. According to the Post's centennial celebration page, the team was the training ground for Joe Cunningham, who went on to play for the St. Louis Cardinals, the Washington Senators, and the Chicago White Sox. Share your Post's legacy. Upload stories, photos, and videos of your Post's history on the Legion's centennial celebration website, www.legion.org/centennial. Honor and Remembrance, The Great War 100. We're going over to finish it up in a hurry. Editor's note. Throughout the Great War Centennial, the American Legion magazine will publish excerpts from the letters of D.B. Bernard Ryan of Albion, New York, who served as an Army infantry officer and helped found American Legion's Sherritt Post 35 in 1919. 309th Infantry, Camp Dix, New Jersey, May 16, 1918. Dear Mother, thousands of visitors have been here every day this week, and with being excused to entertain their guests and with marking, checking, and packing equipment, the men have had little drill work. However, they are getting some today, and tomorrow we are scheduled to go to the range for the benefit of new men. I have felt, while regretting that you have not been here, that perhaps it was just as well, as I have seen some very fond and sad farewells. Everybody is very brave about it all, just as you have been. Now you must be much braver than ever, and I know that you will rise to it. You must think of me only as going on a great and worthy adventure for our sake, and you must be glad that I am in it and proud of yourself for giving me to it. Aside from all fine phrases and flowery mouthings about the cause we are fighting for, we all feel that we are in it for some good and to serve some great purpose in the scheme of the world's progress, and that what we accomplish will be well worth our sacrifices, whatever or how great they are. When my letters stop coming, address me with rank and regiment as before, adding American Expeditionary Forces instead of Camp Dix. Wait a few days before writing to me. I'm telling you nothing definite, as you can see, for I wouldn't if I knew it, and I don't know. But every one of the thousand who have been in camp during the last week knows that our departure is imminent. Undated, but postmarked May 27, 1918. Today has seen the final packing and the shipping of all baggage except personal effects, which we are to carry. We will also wear packs with our overcoats and slickers in them, and our steel helmets. Even the colonel is wearing the pack first time in his 30 years in the service. I will do my best, and whatever becomes of me, you will be glad I am in this greatest adventure of the world's people. Postmarked May 27, 1918. Have just hung up the receiver from talking with you. I hesitated about putting in the call because I did not want to upset you, but I finally decided that we would be glad to hear each other speak once more before our greatest separation. And then, when I got the call, there was nothing I could say, really, but goodbye, and that's all you could think of, too, and I am afraid that we didn't talk our full 3 minutes. I have seen one regiment march away in early morning, just at daylight, in a fog so thick that they disappeared from view 100 yards beyond us. But their band was playing, and they were marching steadily and straight, and our men who were already up cheered and shouted, "We're coming, too, right behind you. We're going over, and we're coming back, and we're going to finish it up in a hurry." The following letter is marked 4th of 5 that reached Mrs. Alice Beach, Ryan, in a single envelope postmarked No. 3, Rest Camp, Folkestone. This is written at a point somewhere on the broad Atlantic and more than a week from Camp Dix. There is absolutely nothing of interest to relate, except a few facts, not very important generally, but perhaps of interest to you and which are forbidden, such as the name of the ship, the time, date, and methods of departure and of crossing, etc. What may be important is that yesterday I was 27, that I spent most of the day, like the one before it, flat on my back in my bunk, to overcome the effects of what was recorded in the ship's log as a moderate gale. Last evening I played bridge for a time and then joined the other officers in the music room, where a quartet from one of our companies entertained us. After all that, I felt that I had a birthday party. The last few days have been cloudy and stormy. Today there is quite a fog. Still, we keep steaming along in what seems at the same time the most casual occurrence and the most unreal adventure. There seems to be nothing romantic or thrilling in what we are doing, and yet, what tale of adventure of old could equal the story of thousands of men dashing across 3,000 miles of ocean in the presence of a pursuing enemy, who with one well-directed torpedo could send hundreds to the bottom of the sea? The spirit of the National Army is still with us here, just as in cantonment. These untrained men are wonderful soldiers, in essence, and true Democrats. May our officers all wake up to that realization and forget petty notions of rank, of favor, and of politics. The men have suffered many inconveniences aboard ship and have borne all with very little grousing and with much recurring good spirit withal. I can think only of the future, of the time when these thousands return to civil life, of the effect they are bound to have upon our national life. Love, D.B.R. Personal Finance, USAA, 6 Financial Reasons to Consider Continued Service. Focus on Finances, J.J. Montanaro. 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks in the summer, that doesn't capture the true experience of serving in the Guard or Reserves since 9/11. However, it has some definite financial incentives. Here are 6. Reserve Retirement. Generally, you must wait until age 60 for the retirement checks to start, but reserve retirement can provide a powerful boost to your financial security. For example, with 6 years of active duty and 14 years in the Guard or Reserves, a retired E-7 who turned 60 this year would receive a monthly retirement check of roughly $1,200. It's like having an additional $250,000 of retirement nest egg. Healthcare Part 1. Continuing to serve can open your eligibility for TRICARE Reserve Select TRS. This premium-based healthcare option is available to members of the active Guard and Reserves, and it's a fantastic deal. In 2018, you can get coverage for your entire family for $221 per month, and individual coverage is less than $50 per month. You won't find that type of value in the civilian sector. Healthcare Part 2. If you're still working at 60, it might offer you an opportunity to save big money by opting out of your civilian employer's health coverage. If not, rest easy knowing that even without having reached Medicare age, you have very affordable and comprehensive coverage. And once you sign up for Medicare, you'll switch to TRICARE for life and won't need Medicare supplement insurance. Life Insurance. As a drilling member of the reserve component, you'll continue to be eligible for $400,000 of service members' group life insurance coverage. Additional income. Continuing to serve also affords you the opportunity to earn monthly drill pay along with active duty pay for annual training. This extra income can be used to save, invest, or pay down debt. Access to installation services. You'll still have an ID card that will allow you to tap into a nearby installation's PX, BX, commissary, MWR, and other money-saving services. J.J. Montanaro is a certified financial planner with USAA, the American Legion's preferred provider of financial services. Submit questions for him online. www.legion.org/USAA/focus-on-finances. Honor and Remembrance, Poppy Day, and the meaning behind it. The red poppy has served as an official symbol of remembrance for the American Legion family for nearly a century. Millions of red crepe paper poppies, their petals bound together for veterans as a part of therapeutic rehabilitation, have been distributed in exchange for donations that support the welfare of veterans, active military personnel, and their families. The symbolism in wearing a red poppy can be traced to the efforts of one woman, Moina Michael. In 1918, she was inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, written by Canadian Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, a medical doctor. McCrae penned his famous war poem in 1915 for the funeral of a fellow friend and soldier, Alexis Helmer, who died during the Second Battle of Ypres. After reading In Flanders Fields, Michael wrote a poem of her own titled We Shall Keep the Faith. The last stanza expressed her idea to wear a poppy. And now the torch and poppy red we wear in honor of our dead. Fear not that ye have died for naught. We'll teach the lesson that ye wrought in Flanders Fields. Michael decided she would always wear a poppy to honor the fallen and shared her idea with businessmen attending a conference at her workplace. They were so encouraged by the idea, they gave her $10 and asked her to purchase poppies for them to wear. Essentially, the first time a donation was accepted in exchange for the small flower. The following year, Michael's efforts were recognized by the American Legion and the American Legion Auxiliary when both organizations adopted the poppy as a national memorial flower during their annual conventions. This month, the American Legion family is asking all Americans to wear a poppy on National Poppy Day, May 25th, the Friday before Memorial Day. Legionnaires are also encouraged to remind the public of the flower's importance throughout this month. Ideas, tools, and information are available at poppydayusa.org. The 2018 commemoration continues a long history of remembrance. In 1977, American Legion Auxiliary National President Norma Brown said of the poppy's significance, "What we must keep in mind is that the basic purpose of wearing the poppy before and on Memorial Day is to honor our nation's war dead. It is an individual's personal gesture of remembrance of the sacrifice made by our fallen Americans." The American Legion family's connection to the poppy. 1920. The poppy becomes the official memorial flower of the Legion family. 1920. George F. Plant Post in Milwaukee distributes 50,000 poppies and collects $5,500 in donations for charitable purposes. 1942. More than 100,000 American Legion Auxiliary volunteers distribute 13 million poppies made by veterans. 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson accepts the 20 millionth poppy to launch the Auxiliary's annual drive. 1988, nearly 25 million Americans wear a poppy to honor America's war dead and veterans, contributing nearly $2 million for rehabilitation and welfare programs in local communities. 2017, Congress passes legislation in support of National Poppy Day. Youth. Family tradition lives on at Boys State. For Patrick Ryan, American Legion Boys State is a family tradition. His father Bob attended and has served as a volunteer legal counselor for years, and his great-grandfather Hayes Kennedy co-founded Boys State in Illinois in 1935. While Ryan knew the basics of the program, a week-long government simulation for young men between their junior and senior years of high school, he enjoyed extracurriculars such as recreational sports and band at last year's Massachusetts Boys State. "I feel like that already enhanced our experience in being able to work together and feel we were teammates," says Ryan, who played the trumpet. The band is a tradition at many boys' state programs, stemming from its inclusion in the first state program. Ryan is the first of Kennedy's great-grandsons to attend a boys' state program. He doesn't expect to be the last, though, as his younger brother, Tom, plans to go when he's eligible. "I was really proud to be able to carry the tradition on for my family," says Ryan, who's also an Eagle Scout. "I find it heartening that my values seem to be similar to the values of my great-grandfather that he instilled into the boys' state program. There's definitely a great sense of pride in knowing that one of my family members did what he thought was right in educating young people about our government, something that he felt strongly about. I feel proud that he was able to take a stand and follow through on it with action." Ryan plans to stay involved. He has applied to serve on staff at this year's Massachusetts Boys State. Andy Prophet. Watch a video online, www.legion.org/boysnation.